Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic goes back to our kind of series we're going to run here for mental health, is overcoming stress. And today we're going to talk about hurry. So H-U-R-R-Y, hurry. So last time we talked about worry, and our theme was to kind of turn worry into work. So turn the thoughts that we have, so are sometimes overwhelming, kind of beating down thoughts, turn those into action. So the reason why that's important is because it helps give you a sense of control and a sense of productivity, and we can take that sometimes negative energy and turn it towards a positive. So that's a really helpful concept, and when we apply that, it can make a big difference for us in overcoming stress. So today, we're going to talk about hurry, which is basically when we have just too much to freaking do in our to-do list. So there's too much to do and too little of time to do it. That's kind of the feeling that we have. So this is, 99% going to be everybody on the planet, is we all have a sense of having a lot of things to do, a lot of demands upon us, and we're hurrying and hurrying and hurrying throughout the day to try to get it all done. And that creates a sense of stress because a lot of reasons is like the pressure of, okay, I have to do everything everything right now that I can to eventually get everything in for the day. You also never get to live in the present because in this present moment, you're thinking of what's going to come next. And that can create stress while you're doing whatever the work is that you're doing. But then also it creates stress in the sense of not giving you freedom of time to kind of feel at peace throughout the day. You always feel like there's this pressure, there's this thing pushing you or dragging you, there's this force being placed upon you. And I know one of the things I deal with a lot with my job is I have the demands of running a business, which is its own set of demands. I have clients that I help in person and online, and they either need time face-to-face or time, through my computer. And then there are the members of the gym who do also need attention in the sense of, maybe something's going wrong with the membership, like they got updated like credit card information or debit card information. Maybe they have, my shoulder's bugging me. I was wondering if you could help me with this or this. So they're going to need some help here or there. There's just a lot of people. So I don't really have it factored in because I probably don't want to know about how many people I'm responsible to every day. But it wouldn't be the most, like the highest number in the world. There are clients I have who run enormous businesses and they have, way more demands than me. And then there are people who have less number of people, but they're still going to invest 100% of themselves into who they have to influence in their day. So one of the things I think that is unhealthy, unproductive to do is to get into comparison kind of thoughts when you look at stuff like this. Like, so if you're stressed and somebody else says like, oh man, I'm stressed too, and you're like, whatever man, you have it so easy, if I had your life I'd be da 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 da. That's not helpful in any way whatsoever. You don't have their life. Nothing about their life is going to influence yours. You have what you have, they have what they have, so that's it. You just work with what you got. So I wanted to kind of go through today's and just talk about kind of maybe my own little story about how I've struggled with this hurry effect in my life and then what I've been doing to kind of improve that. And this would be the ways in which, presenting the steps in which you guys can do the same. So for me, when I first opened the gym, it was about 8 years ago, I was training 10 to 12 hours of clients a day in person. So I was training 50 hours a week, often up to like 55 hours a week, in person, face to face. And it's a full hour, so it's not like it's 30 minutes where the client's on a treadmill and then 30 minutes with me and we call it an hour of personal training. That's bullshit. It's not an hour of personal training if you're not even seeing the client, the trainer for part of the hour. So we did full hour face-to-face. So I'd finish up with one person, and usually the next person was standing there waiting, ready to go. And it was tough because there was just back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. So I would train 5 to 6 hours in a row. I then have like 2 hours for lunch. So my last person before lunch, you know, they'd run a little bit over because they'd want to tell you a story or something like that, and there wasn't that next person standing there waiting, and they often, you know, weren't wearing a watch and they weren't aware of time, so they're going to tell me, you know, some story that's going to feed over, so it might be, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes after the hour. Then all of a sudden there's a member who's been trying to get a hold of me, they have a question, now all of a sudden it's 20 minutes after the hour that I finally get out. So I'll get out, and I used to go to Moe's, actually, and get a burrito, because it was a lot of calories and something I could eat really fast, because I had 5 hours of kind of activity that I had to make up for and 5 hours that I had to fuel for. So I would eat that, and then usually I had about, like, 40 to 50 minutes left, so I'd try to catch a 20-minute nap in my car in the parking lot at Moe's, and then I'd drive back to the gym. I'd have to be ready, you know, 5 or 10 minutes before the client got there. And then all of a sudden I'd go into the next kind of 5 to 6 hour time gap, and that would be my day. So I'd have 5 to 6 hours, 2 hours for lunch, but not really because it got chewed up some, and then 5 to 6 hours of more clients. Then after that, I'd have all of the programming to do for my clients, all the financial record upkeeping for the day, the cleaning, fixing anything that needed addressed in the gym. Then I would go home and do it all over again. So it often led to some pretty long freaking days. So where I was busy face-to-face, like accountable busy, 14 to 16 hours of the day. And then you'd have to add in time in there that, like, you would eat and or just driving to the gym, driving back home, you know, transitional times and stuff like that. So part of the stresses that I first started with was, I remember, like, when I think it was, like, the first day or two of training, I was helping a client put something away, and I smashed my watch, my wristwatch. So I was working for a while without any idea of time. And I never carry a phone with me when I'm training clients because I hate the image that it portrays. Oftentimes you'll see trainers playing on their phone while they're supposed to be paying attention to their clients. So that's absolutely horrible. So if you have a trainer that's texting while you're exercising, fire that trainer. Okay? So they should be paying attention to you. So I never wanted to have my phone because I'm human too. You know, if I had my phone and say I wanted to pick it up just to look at the time, but all of a sudden there was a text message. Now all of a sudden I'd either be thinking of that text message or I'd want to check it, and it would kind of pull me mentally away from my client. So I never liked having my phone on me. And then since I didn't have a watch, it was really hard to kind of judge when the hour was up. And often I'd have the next client, sometimes they'd show up 20 minutes early. Then I would feel pressured, like, wow, it doesn't feel like it's the right time, you know, but there they are. And then you would want to, like, try to, you know, wrap up the one session, get over that person, then you find out that they're actually there just 20 minutes early and standing around with the thumb up the butt doing nothing. So even though you showed them a warm-up to do 17,000 times. and then you'd have people who were late. So I'd be training the client, and he'd be like, wow, it feels like it's, you know, it has to be past the hour. Then all of a sudden the new person would come blitzing through the door, and I was still having to wrap up and finish up with the last person. So I had to get a watch. That was a big mistake on my part. But what that meant was I wasn't really mindful of time. So I wasn't paying attention very much to my time per individual, which made it bled into everybody else. So it kind of cascaded and made the rest of the day kind of worse. I also had stresses of I created individual workouts. So when I first started, I didn't want to do what everybody else in the business does, which is where you write kind of standardized workouts and everybody follows that. So everybody who's, you know, say a middle-aged female wanting to lose weight, they all follow the exact same workout. That's bullshit. You're not all the exact same person. So yes, you fit into these kind of grand scope categories, but that doesn't mean you're the same person. Some people have strong legs, some people have weak legs, some people have strong upper body, some people have weak shoulders, somebody has a postural issue, somebody doesn't, maybe one lady's coming back from pregnancy, the other one's never had a kid, so there's a lot of variation. So I had a lot of stress in trying to create individualized programs with the limited time that I had. I'd also try to, in the middle of the day while training, you know, 10 to 12 hours of clients a day, I also had to find some way to market the business. So I was doing good as a personal trainer, but how was the gym itself going to grow? So I had to find ways to do that. And then just kind of finding time to handle members versus clients. So like I said, a lot of members would have, you know, payment issues or somebody would want to join that day. So somebody wants to join. And this is me being a little bit of a punk and joking here, but it is hilarious to where it's almost universal that I would have, like, I'd be training a client, somebody would come in, they're like, I want to join. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, here's some quick information. I'll get you a key fob. You can try out the gym for a week. I'm with this client right now, but go ahead and look around, and then I'll get in touch with you at the end of the day. Yeah, you know, I was really wanting to lose weight back when I was 18. I used to be able to, who gives a shit? Don't tell me your life story. I don't need your life story. I just told you I was training that client. So people want to tell you, like, everything about why they're out of shape. And to be very honest, when I'm in a busy like that, I don't care. The other person is paying for my time. And if you're out of shape, you're out of shape. You tell me a 20-minute life story about all your excuses isn't going to make a difference. Okay? So that sounds very, I don't know, maybe that I don't care, but it was understanding priorities. So the one person was actually paying for my time. The other person needed my time to get signed up for the gym, but they didn't need to be telling me their life story at that time. So it was trying to find, like, time, like, how to deal with that. So, like, we talk about stress. That was an enormous amount of stress because there was the client who was my friend and somebody who's paying for me, investing into me and investing into my business. And then there's somebody who could potentially become the same. So you're kind of being pulled in both directions. And the hurry part was that, like, you wanted to try to make time for both people, but there, you can't, like, I can't split my minutes in half, you know, and double them and give 10 minutes to this person, 10 minutes to that person. You only have 10 minutes. So how do you deal with that? And basically what this led to for me was just all of life's stresses, trying to do everything under the sun all the time, really led to me being burned out. And it was rough. So I remember, like, I would get home on Saturdays around 12 or 1 in the afternoon. I'd kind of get a Redbox movie. That was my entertainment budget for the week. It was a buck. So I'd get a movie, and usually I'd try to get some kind of food, like maybe pizza. And I'd probably fall asleep about halfway through the movie. I'd sleep from about 3 or 4 in the afternoon on Saturday to 3 or 4 in the afternoon on Sunday. So I'd often sleep 12 to 14 hours straight through because I was so tired and stressed from the week. I would get up, eat some pizza, eat some more food, return the movie so I didn't have to pay the late fee, come back and fall back asleep. And usually I'd fall back asleep by like 7 or 8 on Sunday and wake up, you know, ready to go on Monday like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., whatever I had to do. So it was just basically sleeping all freaking weekend as a way to try to catch up. So I was overstressed, overburdened, overworked, and I was losing weight, and it was healthy weight. I was losing muscle tissue just from not eating, overly stressed, overly active. I wasn't training. I wasn't taking time for my own health. I had no me time in the sense of no quiet time for myself, no sense of, like, personal identity or personal growth. So I kind of felt like a slave to the process that was happening. And my dream of owning a gym had turned into a nightmare. And I have had people tell me that they've had similar experiences, but in their own ways. So I've talked to mothers, for example, and they would never want to, nobody ever wants to say what I'm about to say out loud, but I think it's more universal than what the mother would recognize. But feeling almost like you're a slave to your kids, and you're a slave to the process of being a mom. So you're trapped to it every damn day. Those kids never go away. So every morning they wake up needing you, and they need you all damn day. They even need you by the time they try to go to bed. So it never turns off. So you're always a mom. And that can feel very burdening and very tough. And it's really hard to be able to talk about that because it seems like something you shouldn't talk about. So a lot of moms don't get a chance to talk about it because of, like, a social stigma. But it's absolutely true. Sometimes new moms or even moms of multiple kids, it's just that becomes your identity. You become mom. You lose your own sense of identity. You lose any quiet time you have yourself. Hell, you can't even go to the bathroom and, you know, take a dump by yourself. So it's just everything is pulling off of you. Everything goes around you. So you are the house manager. So, like, I run a gym, you run the house. You have to do the coin and calendar, as they say, is you have to schedule all the events and you have to take care of all the money in sense of, like, you know, what's going to cost this, what's going to cost that. You have to kind of figure out the finances. So maybe your spouse, you know, like, this is a particular situation. So not every woman should be a stay-at-home mom. I'm not talking about any of that. But if you are a stay-at-home mom, the husband would be most likely bringing in the financial part, but you're going to have to kind of know where it goes and what to do with it. So you have become basically the manager of the house, okay? And that can feel ridiculously burdening. So you have hurry because you have to get the kids up, you have to get them fed, you have to get them to this thing, get them to that thing. Then you got to kind of like get home, you got to do the laundry, you got to make the beds, you got to do this, you got to do that. Then all of a sudden you have to pick them back up for this thing. Then you have to go run errands and pick up groceries. You have to go, you know, shop for household essentials. Now all of a sudden you got to go do this thing and that thing. And it just becomes crazy. So there's a high demand on you. And I've talked to dads. And where their job was to go out of the house, make enough money, and bring it home. And they felt burdened or stressed by that because the pressure was on them all day to go out and make enough money. And if their business was struggling or whatever their job was not quite enough, there was the stress of that. There was the hurry of that where, you know, just this demand on you to produce. And a lot of times the financial aspects were outside of your control, or it led to you doing a job you really didn't like. So you're doing a job you didn't like, you never get to see your wife because she's so busy with the kids, you guys don't have a friendship anymore, and it just feels like you're managing the house and the children together, but there's no more love and there's no more kind of laughter and connection like that. So we all have these kind of processes. And then there's tons of people in the gym, like if they're young, like younger, they're going to college, so they're trying to balance everything in college. They're trying to work part-time. They're trying to come to the gym and be awesome in their like fitness and health career. So they have a lot of demands on them as well. So everybody is kind of living with a lot of demands. We all feel this stress to fit everything into the day. And it makes us hurry from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. So something that helped me along the way, and what I think will help you guys, is first thing I did was I got a watch. So I had to take back control of time and schedule. And what would happen is when I was about 5 minutes to the end of the hour, I would start explaining to the client that we were going to wrap things up. I started talking to them and telling them like what we were going to do next time, what they needed to do in the meantime. And when the hour was over, as politely and as quickly as I could, I'd cut them off from talking because the next person was standing there ready to go. So if my last client talked 5 minutes over into the next hour, they're talking 5 minutes into somebody else's pay. Somebody else is paying for that hour, not you. So that was taking 5 minutes away from the other person, both time investment into their health and happiness, but also financially. So I learned that with me being mindful of the time that I had and what the time was throughout the day, I could better control to which each element, what amount of time I was giving, and having a better sense of that. So that's something that I think it helps a ton. So a real quick example of how that's helpful for me is a different way in which it's helpful for me is, let's say I need to leave the gym at 7:30. I'll actually walk out the door at 7:20. And that gives me 10 minutes extra that in case somebody needs to talk to me, in case somebody needs to just have a conversation or I see somebody I want to say hi to, it gives me that little bit of window. Now, what happens if I don't see anybody and I get out in the car and I have an extra 10 minutes? Okay, I have an extra 10 minutes now, so yay. Or if I had like an email or quick text I could send back, I'd fill up that 10 minutes in the parking lot. So it's something where if you're trying to maximize the amount you can do, that was something where I started out a little bit early, so that way in case something came up, I'd be ready for it and have the time. If not, then I'd fill in the work once I was at the new place or the next place I was going. So that helped a ton. I was going to watch. I took charge of my schedule. So I made everything revolve around me that was possible. So I scheduled when I wanted to train, and I got clients to fit and work around that. So not everybody's going to be able to do the everything I'm saying here, but I want you to take the concept of it. So the concept was is I scheduled my life first as much as I could. And there's more within your control over that than what you might think. So if you're looking at this for an excuse to not be able to do it, you're looking at this as the wrong opinion, okay? So if you're like, oh yeah, it'd be nice if I could schedule everything around my life, you can, jackass. So don't be all like snippety and say, oh, you know, work for you, but never going to work for me. Well, if you have that never going to work for me mindset, of course it's never going to work for you because you're not looking for a way to make it work, okay? So anytime you listen to these type of podcasts or anytime you read a book, a self-help book, you have to be willing to help yourself. That's what the freaking title is. So if you're approaching this stuff for vindication of why your excuses are okay, you're reading the wrong books, you're listening to the wrong podcast. Okay? If you want to change, if you want your life to change, you have to make changes to it. Okay? So everything I'm about to read through, you have to have an open mind. Find the things that can apply to your life and maximize them. Some of them won't. And that's just the way it goes. We all have different styles of living. So different techniques of hurry management are going to work differently for everybody. Okay, that's why there's, you know, a million ways to work out that are all good because everybody's a little bit different. There's a bunch of ways to eat healthy because everybody's a little bit different. So they're good, but yet, well, we all have to find our own path. So for the rest of the podcast here, I'm going to be giving some tips and advice. If you're going to listen to this with a closed mind, just cut the podcast off now. There's no point to you listening anymore. Okay? Now, if you're going to continue to listen, you got to listen with an open mind and find a way to make this stuff work for you. So again, if you want your life to change, you have to make a change in your life. You have to be open-minded and find a way around this stuff. And the reason why I'm talking this way is because I was that person. So I remember when I was swamped working 50-some hours of in-person clients, plus all the extra crap I had to do on top of that, I was working 70-plus hours a week. And when I would read the self-help book and they would say, you know, you have to make your own life a priority, I'm like, okay, how the hell am I supposed to do that? I got bills, you know, I got clients, I got all this stuff, I got all that stuff. And guess what? Nothing changed. Because I didn't change anything. I sat in that excuse and stayed in the bullshit, crappy nightmare of a life that I had. It wasn't until I decided, hey, you know what? Me saying that I couldn't change anything and then me not changing anything, that didn't change anything. Imagine that. So I had to learn that I had to make changes if I wanted something to change. So example of this was I had back pain at the time. I had a back injury that caused my back to hurt every damn day, all day for 14 months. And basically what it led to was I burned out, and I thought to myself, "Is there's no way in the hell that I can do this till I'm in my 50s and 60s. So I'm in my 30s, and I'm dying. Every damn day my back hurts. And how in the hell am I going to do this for the next 20 years? So I remember I told myself, "Is I'd rather go out of business while still having my health than to lose my health and be out of business anyhow. So, because once my back hurt so bad I couldn't stand up to train clients, or once my back hurt so bad I wouldn't be able to invest the amount of emotional and mental energy into my clients, I was going to lose my business anyhow. So I might as well lose it going out with good health before losing it with bad health. So I actually canceled all of my clients before, I think, 10 a.m. I only took clients from 10 a.m. on throughout the rest of the day. And from 8 to 10, I think it was actually like 7:30 to 9:30, I took care of my back and did rehab every damn day. So for 30 days, I did 2 hours of rehab. So I did 60 hours of rehab in 30 days and got my back problem addressed. It took all of those hours, by the way. And then I would just take that morning from there on out, and I would have time to either sleep in if I needed to, if I was too stressed from the days before. I'd have time to work out if I wanted to. It kind of gave me my me time. And I actually got to start my day with me time, which then made everything else the rest of the day kind of, you know, hey, whatever it is, it is. I already got my stuff in. You know, so it kind of gave me that mindset. Now, I know tons of people who get up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. to get their workouts in or to get their private time in before their kids wake up, before, like, the demands of the day turn on. And sometimes that's what you have to do. So I remember when I used to teach at the university, I used to wake up at 5:30. No, I used to start my workout at 5:30, so I'd get up at 4:45, and I would get to the gym and work out by 5:30, and that was the only way I could get my stuff in, because by the end of the, by 8 o'clock, my first class that I taught was at 8 o'clock, and then all of a sudden I had classes I was teaching, I had classes I was taking, the work for all those classes, and there's just demands of life, and all of a sudden it wasn't until 9 or 10 at night that all of a sudden I would have time to be by myself, and then that's when I would try to work out. Bullshit, I was so tired I couldn't do it. So that was one of the big things I did, was take control of my schedule. And there's some other odds and ends. So, like, I made a goal to every Saturday, instead of heading home after my last client, I'd actually head up to a new gym. So I'd try to find a new gym. There was one gym I loved in Charlotte called Fitness Factory of Charlotte. So I ended up knowing the owners, and it was an awesome gym. Loved the place. And they had a lot of fun variety of equipment. So I would go up there and take some personal time, some me time, and go train, look at the equipment, you know, think of things that I might be able to bring into my gym. It just gave me time for myself. So it gave me a sense of identity again. And I started living back to living the dream of what I thought my life could be versus the nightmare of it. So here's the steps that I took to get out of that hurry, nightmare, kind of craziness, stress, and kind of take better control of my life. So I'm going to run through these. We're going to talk real quick because I know I'm already at 25 minutes. But this stuff does work. It absolutely does work. I now live a life that I'm extremely happy about and I feel very lucky about. I know a ton of my clients that make these changes and they all have better control over their life as well. So open up your mind. Okay? Put down the walls of defense, put down your excuses, and just listen. That's all you gotta do. Just listen with an open mind. Okay. Number one step you can do is daily planning. So either the night before or the morning of, plan out what needs done that day. And what you want to do is think of, before you can do this well, is you want to think of your priority list. What are the most important things to you in life? Not just per day, in life. So it might be your health, your happiness. You might have, maybe like God. If that's, if you're religious, you might have time with God is one of your things you want to do. You can have time for family. So maybe you have a spouse, kids, some family members that you want to make time for. And then you have, things like for me, like one of my lists are, I have categories of things called things that make me money. And then there are like pro bono things. There's other stuff. But I have a priority list. And what business has taught me is the business has grown large enough that there's no possible freaking way that I can do everything for everyone that needs done every day. So every single day I disappoint someone. And I've learned that that's just unavoidable. It's got to the point where I couldn't avoid it. I could not possibly help everyone who wants help every day. So I've had to learn to be okay with disappointing people. But the power that I have is I get to decide who. I get to decide who I disappoint. Do I disappoint myself? Do I disappoint God? Do I disappoint my mom, my dad? Would I disappoint like a spouse? I get to decide who I get to disappoint. Or is it that random person I don't know yet that asked me to do something that I just don't have time for once I cross off everything else? So that's what you have to do, is you have to decide who do you want to disappoint today. And way too often we disappoint our family and our closest people because we say to ourselves is they'll understand. Yeah, maybe they'll understand, but they're still disappointed. So just because they understood doesn't mean they're not disappointed. It means they're disappointed, but they're nice enough and calm enough not to throw it back in your face. But they're still disappointed, so don't disappoint people close to you. You have the choice of people to disappoint. Don't make it your loved ones, okay? Now, once you have your priority list, you want to make kind of like your do list, your daily planning for the day. And a big component that no one does that it will absolutely help is don't only write down what to do, write down when you're going to do it. So too often people just make a list of what needs done, but they never know when they're going to do it. They just add and add and add to that list. But then all of a sudden when you add up the amount of time, it's greater than 24 freaking hours. So you have to write down the job that you want to do and then write down an estimated amount of time. Okay? Now you might find throughout your day you have 6 hours worth of stuff that you can get done on top of your regular normal life priorities. So you only allot 6 hours worth of to-do stuff. So if you write down the job, the time you estimate it to take, that's going to help you understand when you're going to be able to get it done, and then also if you can get it done. So that way you don't overbook your day. Once one day is filled, you push it to the next day. If something of higher priority comes up, you put it on today, and then you push something else back to tomorrow. So that's the idea. It's like pieces of a puzzle that you're going to shift around. So you want to find out your priority list. You want to plan out your day, your to-do list, based on what to do, but also how much time it's going to take and when you're going to do that. So I have scheduled in my day, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., I can get open. So I just write it as open. And then I know I go to my to-do list and I look at, okay, I have 2 hours. Oh, this is going to take 30 minutes. That's going to take 15. This is going to take 30. I could probably get these three things done. So boom, I crank them out. So that helps enormously. So that way you don't feel overwhelmed with a million things to do. You can understand there are a million things to do, but I can only do 6 of them today. So that kind of gives you that sense of calmness. I also have job tiers. So I have levels of investment. So I have high involvement versus low involvement. So when I feel mentally strained or burned out in the middle of the end or the end of the day, if I have a high involvement thing that's on my list, but I know I don't have high involvement worth of mindset to give to it, I push it off to tomorrow and I make it first thing in the tomorrow, and then I crank out a bunch of low involvement things, like changing toilet paper or paper towels in the restrooms. You know, stuff like that where it doesn't take any mental stress, but that's about all I have to give at that moment, okay? So separating your jobs into high involvement and low involvement help. So that way, if you don't feel like you have the effort to give to a high involvement, you don't just shut down for the day. You switch to your low involvement things and get those done. Then delegate as much as you can. So parents or anybody, if you have people in your life like kids or a spouse, make sure everybody's carrying their equal load. Okay? So delegate jobs out. And no, they're not going to like it. People don't like being told they have to do extra. But ensure that everybody's equal. So if what you're asking them to do is above what they can do, well, recognize that that's not appropriate. Also, recognize that if you're only doing, you know, 4 hours and you're asking them to do 5 or 6, that's not fair to them. So, however, it's not fair to you if you're doing 10 and they're doing 0. So you have to delegate that work out. Get them involved. Okay? They're not going to like it, but it's good for them. It's going to teach them how to handle more stress in life so that way they don't feel stressed the same way you feel stressed. So teach them stress management as you're learning it too, okay? And then also recognize that 80%, if all they can do is 80% as good as you could have done, that's still 80% you don't have to do. You only have to come back and clean up that last 20%, okay? So delegating is a huge thing if you have the option to do it. So then you also want to schedule some me time or quiet time. So even just 5 or 10 minutes to kind of shut off electronics, to shut off people. Just have time in your mind, no sound, just kind of disconnect from the world. So no matter how you get that, it doesn't really matter. You just have to have that time. So maybe it's, you know, if you're driving on your way to work, just pull into the parking lot, put your car in park, turn off the radio, set a 5-minute timer, and just relax. Just think things through. So maybe you have a podcast you want to listen to, wink, wink. Maybe you have, you know, a book or some motivational quotes or sayings you want to read on your phone. But take some time. Take like even just 5 or 10 minutes. It doesn't seem like much, but it actually does make a difference. So just take a little bit of time for yourself every day. If you start with 5 minutes, I promise you have 5 minutes, by the way. Just look for it and find it. Just take 5 minutes every day. Get a sense of calmness out of those 5 minutes, and you'll be amazed how much of a difference that can make. I know firsthand, by the way, so I'm not just bullshitting you. So just turning off the radio and sitting in your car for 5 minutes, it does help just kind of calm down things. It helps you notice your heart rate was really freaking high before you started. So you might think you were calm, but you weren't. You're in this go, 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 fight or flight mode. And sometimes just taking those 5 minutes can help you calm down. So I can't tell you the number of times that I'd be having random chest pains, and it was just related to stress and being in a hurry. So if I took 5 minutes, just took some deep breaths, all of a sudden I would calm down and my body would feel a lot better. So it's kind of crazy to think that I was having chest pains in my 30s. But when you got a lot of shit on top of you, as everybody here listening to this knows, you get stressed out. So the body gets into that kind of cortisol mode where you go all day just based off cortisol and stress rather than healthy energy. So that can really affect blood pressure, really affect stress. So just taking 5 minutes, take some deep breaths. So just take time to yourself. And then the last thing I'll leave you with, because this is getting long, is to find a game or find a hobby. Find something that gives you a sense of personal interest in your day. Now, this can be training. This can be really anything. So like I have a project going on right now where I count the number of helps I do per day. And a help is defined as if I talk to somebody in person and I'm able to help them with information or help them with just happiness. So our interaction would have made their life happier. I count that. I count my emails. If I send somebody helpful information or something that makes them happy, I count that in emails. I count it in text. I count it in social message, direct messages from, you know, clients, gym members, friends back home. I count the number of likes that I get on my social media post for like the gym page. So if somebody took the time to actually click like, then that means that hopefully they got something from it or they liked it. So I can count that as a help. And I actually count the number of downloads per day for the podcast. And what that does for me is it lets me know that the effort and energy that I'm putting into people each day, it lets me actually see a tangible number, and I get to kind of see the fun of that. So, like, for example, just here in April, April 1st, I had 179 helps. April 2nd, I had 274 helps. April 3rd, I had 243 helps. So, and those were individual days, and I got to make a difference. So that last day, 243, what I did that day made a difference 243 times to people's lives. That's pretty badass, right? And I love that because it gives me motivation to do the extra things. So when I come out of my office and I just want to run out the damn door at 9 o'clock at night because I'm so tired, but there's somebody sitting there, you know, it gives me a chance to kind of calm and say, hey, you know what? Let me talk to this person. This is my goal of my life, isn't to get through my to-do list and get home. The goal of my life is to make a difference in people's lives. It's to create those helps. So that's a cool game that I like to play. So I used to play a game where every time I went into a convenience store, could I make the cashier laugh? So that's a hard game, by the way, if you've never played it, because some people are just, oh my gosh, they're Debbie Downers out the wazoo. So, but that used to be one of the games. If I went to a grocery store or a convenience store, like getting gas or something like that, is I would try to make the clerk or the worker like laugh at some point. And that's a fun game to play. But doing stuff like that throughout your day, it makes a big difference. So I got into recently texting a pun every day to somebody in my life who hates puns. So they're annoyed with me, but also getting a laugh every day. So I love to send them just some stupid, really dorky, annoying pun. But that's the stuff. It just, like, just that one thing where you send somebody a text that takes 1 minute to type it, and they send you back something later in the day that says, ha ha ha, you know, that's stupid, or something like that. Just that one little chuckle that you get out of 2 minutes in a day invested can make a whole day good. So that's the idea, just trying to find things that kind of make a game or make a hobby out of the day, make some type of personal investment into the day. It can make a big difference, okay? So what we want to recognize when we think of overcoming the stress of hurry in our life is that structure provides freedom, okay? You want to create structure to your hurry. The reason why your hurry is creating stress is because you have a million things to do and you don't know if you have the time to do it. Well, if you make a priority list, if when you plan out your day, you allot the time to each job that needs done, you will know concretely what you can get done per day. And then there's no stress. So I still feel a little bit of stress, absolutely, sure, but way, way less stress knowing, okay, I only have 5 hours today, quote unquote, let's just say that, to get things done on a to-do list. And then if I have a time allotted, I do 15-minute increments, by the way. So I'll do 15, 30, 45, 60, so I allot whatever time I need. So if it's writing a new training program, sometimes, depending on the complexity of the client, I have to allot 2 hours. And it's like, shit, that's a big chunk out of my 5-hour day. But that's what needs done. So I kind of allot time. I know how much time I have to give per day. So I plug in the pieces of that day to try to get whatever I can get done in that time. But it's no longer a sense of stress. It's actually a game of puzzles now. I have pieces that fit into a puzzle. I know the defined edges of my puzzle, and I know what the pieces are. That is way, way calming. So if you don't live life that way, it's going to create an enormous amount of stress for you. And that's what I used to do in the past, and it was stressful. Then also having job tiers, so that way you know if you don't have the mental investment to give to a big job, that's okay. Push that to tomorrow and get a bunch of small, easy investment things in, okay? So that way you still get a sense of productivity, you still get things done for that day. Delegate out as much work as you can to anybody in your life. Take time for me time. Like I said, even if it's 5 minutes in your car, just drive somewhere, get there 5 minutes early, and just relax. And then find a game for the day. So like I told you about trying to make store clerks laugh, that didn't require any amount of time investment. I didn't need to set aside 20 minutes. I was already walking in the store. I was already going to walk out of the store. I was already going to stand in front of that grocery store clerk as they scan my groceries. I was already going to stand there while I was paying them. I might as well talk. Might as well make a game out of it, okay? So there are a lot of mental games you can play that don't add any time to your day, that don't ask any time of your day, okay? Just find a way to live life happier. That was the key for me, okay? So when you're trying to create structure to your life, it can feel like herding cats. So as impossible as you might think that could be, okay? But even if you just get two or three of those damn little cats in organized, that can make a difference. So don't worry about being perfect with your organization. Just be somewhat organized. That's better than no organized, okay? So take these steps. Hopefully they help. Hopefully you actually listen to this whole podcast. It's got way longer than I planned, but hopefully it was helpful, okay? So figure out what your priorities are in the day. Plan your day, and when you plan when and how much time it's going to take, not only what you're going to do. Find time for me time, for quality time, and find a game or a hobby or find something that makes you mentally invested into your day, okay? So if you're struggling with these, but you like the idea of these, so if you listen to this with an open mind, you're like, man, I think this stuff is good. I really want to try it, but I'm confused about blah, blah, blah. Send us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we'll help you figure it out, okay? So hopefully this helped. If you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love, love, love to hear from you. So the podcast is for you, so we'll know what you want to learn about. You can reach us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.